This is Wrestling Informant Radio, WrestlingInformant.com. How's it going, everybody? Gary Cantrell and Chris McManamy here with you this week. And thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for your subscription to our free radio feed. We do appreciate you guys checking out the show every week. We're happy to present it for you. If you go to our website, if you like the ad-free stuff, if you like this weekly stuff, this is just our weekly reminder. If you want to support what we do, it's very simple, guys. We offer a membership, and it is $2.99, and what you're going to get is daily audio programs. We normally do like a Monday to Friday kind of thing, sometimes on the weekend if the news is really picking up, but the news kind of slows down on the weekend. So we kind of do like a Monday to Friday daily audio updates for our members in depth. We did, Chris, we did, what was it, nearly an hour or about an hour talking about NXT TakeOver?
Right, and it was funny because we originally said it was going to be like 35, 40 minutes maybe at the most. Yeah, we took it an hour.
We ran.
There was that much to go over.
We ran into it pretty in depth. So if you like the NXT stuff, we've got an hour talking about NXT TakeOver. I've got my Raw review from a couple days ago. We're going to talk a few points about that today. And a couple of other things. So I'm just going to make it really short and sweet. I don't want to, you know, so many times in podcasts, you either got bad audio quality or you got hosts who ramble on about miscellaneous stuff at all times. And it's plug this and plug that. We're keeping it real simple. We've only been going for 90 seconds. So to close this out, WrestlingInformant.com/membership, $2.99 daily, Monday to Friday audio programs, as well as an extensive archive of shoot interviews dating back to 2007 since I've been covering wrestling. So we welcome you to check that out. WrestlingInformant.com/membership. Obligatory plug out of the way, Chris. How are you today, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. And you know who else is doing pretty good, or so it seems?
Who's that?
Jake the Snake Roberts.
Oh, yeah. Because last I heard, he supposedly had some pretty serious health problems with a double pneumonia.
That is all true. He is he's on his way. He tweeted, days ago, mm-hmm. where he tweeted an update on his health. And I'm just going to read these tweets quickly for you guys. He said, "Wow, what a scary couple of weeks. So appreciative to be alive and on the mend. Thank you all for the love and support. I will keep you posted. Need a bit more time to recover. I will be back to normal and out there thanking all of you for your kindness and support in a couple of weeks. Pneumonia did some serious damage. Sickest I've ever been. Healing time? ? Just unsure how long. Hospital and doctor, super double icy, no joke." I don't know what that means, but that's Jake. He says, "It will be a slow recovery. Need biopsy on lungs and another area. Tests next week also. Attitude and attention to detail was the word of the day." And then he says, "Well, a good dog gets a bone every now and then. Received a great surprise and moment has lifted my spirits out of space." This is just a collection of tweets from Jake the Snake Roberts. His daughters came to see him. But basically, just to wrap it up in a bow, so we're not reading his entire Twitter feed. Basically, what Jake is saying here is that he's feeling good, and he's on his way to recovering from this pneumonia and stuff. And you know, this is tough, Chris. I mean, when you look at Jake, he's had a tough couple of years. He hooked up with Diamond Dallas Page.
Yep.
And I mean, you can listen to Jake. I don't want to turn this into plug, but just very quickly, we have an interview with Jake in our archives that you can hear, and he talks about recovery, you know, from the other stuff, from the drugs and alcohol and all that. But you know, you look at what he's been through, Chris, and for him to come back and make a comeback, and then to have this happen, it's just really very unfortunate. But I'm glad to see that he's on his way back.
No, I agree, and I can even attest to that, because last year I had a mild case of a pneumonia in my right lung. And I thought I was out for 3 days. I mean, I was completely out.
Yeah.
And out of commission. So, I mean, to have double pneumonia and as old as he is, that's just amazing that he was able to recover from all that and get back to normal.
I mean, they say cats have 9 lives. This guy must have like 100 lives. I mean, he's been through a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And, but he's a tough guy. He's a tough SOB. And I just wanted to open that with some good news that he's on his way, and I'm just so glad to read that, because of all he's been through, and he's worked so hard.
Oh man,
And just to see where he's at now, I mean, I feel good about it. I feel like he's going to get better, and I think that's great. Not that he needs to hear that from me, because who the hell am I? I'm just some podcast host with you, but just a couple of schmucks. But I want to open that up with a positive story, something nice, because unfortunately, the biggest news item this week, Chris, Sean O'Hare, former WCW and WWE star, dead at 43, committing suicide by a hanging. This is just such an unfortunate story. You know, suicide is a big, big thing in the world. And, you know, there's just people out there that for whatever reason, they feel that this is their way out. This is their way to feel better. And it's just, you know, we need to help people. We need to figure out a way to help our loved ones and you know, watch over them as best as we can without being too intrusive, but trying to help people that are in need. And it's just so unfortunate to read the story, Chris.
No, it's so sad. It's another one gone too early. And if anybody knows anything about somebody even hinting at suicide, then especially with what's happened outside of wrestling, don't take it lightly, because what we've seen is that they're actually going through with this. And it's just awful. Absolutely awful.
Yeah, absolutely. And just a quick aside to this, if you know anybody that needs help, you can call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It's 1-800-273-8255. I just want to throw that out there because,
yeah, just,
you know, don't help somebody out.
Right. If you know somebody's in trouble, don't take it lightly or brush it off like, oh, they're seeking attention. Really take it seriously and take care of your loved ones.
Absolutely. You know, Sean O'Hare, a hell of a prospect years ago when he was an active wrestler, you know, in WCW.
Yeah, the Natural Born Thrillers. I remember that group, and that was a pretty impressive young crop of talent.
Yeah, it's just unfortunately WCW had no idea what to do with them, you know?
It's not surprising, WCW.
No, it's not.
WCW around the year 2000? Yeah, it wasn't happening.
But, I mean, to be fair, when he got to WWE, it took him a little while to figure out what to do with them as well. I mean, you know, it wasn't until like 03 or 04 or whatever when he, you know, partnered up with Piper, and they kind of figured out this cool thing for him to do.
Yeah, I remember that.
But it's just so damn unfortunate, man, to see a guy at 43. I mean,
another one.
I'm 32. Aren't you 32, Chris?
I'll be 32 next month.
Okay, 32 next month.
But I'm we're in that age. Now. We're in that same age demographic, and it's just unreal.
You're talking about 10 years away. I mean, could you imagine, Chris, your life ending in your 40s, your early 40s?
No way. Not at all.
It's just, it's unbelievable.
Especially taking your own life. I just couldn't even imagine.
Well, yeah.
I can't comprehend that. And I guess, I know you can't. We just can't comprehend what goes through in the mind of somebody like that.
Yeah, you'll never be able to understand unless you've been there. And, I mean, what can you say? Here's the details, though. He was found dead on Tuesday in Spartanburg, South Carolina, which is where he lived. And, they're waiting on, you know, the autopsy and the toxicology to try to figure out, you know, what was in his system at the time of his death. But basically, it looks like around Monday was when he actually did it. So that's what's believed right now. You know, this is TMZ. It's not all confirmed 100%, but I'm more likely to believe what they post than something you're going to read on another, say, wrestling website, per se.
Oh, TMZ is getting pretty accurate with their stuff nowadays.
Yeah,
a little bit closer than some of the more "quote unquote" reliable sources.
Well, they used to just kind of throw things out there a long time ago.
Yeah, and not anymore. They're I don't say they're a completely credible source, but they're pretty close.
They're getting up there. We'll say that.
Yeah, they're getting up there. It's hard not to discount them completely.
Yeah, I mean, he also did some kickboxing, some MMA. I mean, this guy really had kind of the total package.
Oh, he was, and he had a great look. He was pretty good in the ring from what I remember.
Yeah,
he's going back a few years, but
I mean, I'm not gonna say he was like the next, you know, John Cena or Brock Lesnar. He wasn't on that level, but he was
he could go
definitely could go. So we're gonna keep you guys updated on any new details that come out, but it's a suicide, found on Tuesday. Sean O'Hare dead at 43.
Now I'm trying to think. I know a lot of wrestlers do unfortunately die young. But I'm trying to think of the last one that was a suicide before Sean O'Hare. I mean,
Chris Benoit.
Yeah, Chris Benoit, Canyon,
yeah.
I think Canyon was a suicide. But all the other ones were just
you know, it's their
battling their own demons, whether it's drugs or steroids or whatever, just that whole entire range of possible problems.
Yeah, it's just such an unfortunate thing, man. It just kind of bums me out. You know what I mean? And then I look at guys like Bull Dempsey from the NXT special doing flying headbutts, and
yeah, I know, and Daniel Bryan out.
Daniel Bryan's out.
Who knows how long? And he's probably young. He's younger than us, probably, or maybe the same age.
Well, and the thing is, Chris, just to be fair, we can't blame it all on the flying headbutt, but
no, but
it's definitely
contributing. Right, it's not helping.
No, and
These guys nowadays are trying to take care of themselves and doing what's right, and like Jericho doing DDP yoga to get back into shape.
Yeah,
and he even said himself, it wasn't one thing, it was 23 years of wrestling. You put me to where I couldn't get out of bed anymore. So it's not just one thing, but that stuff like that doesn't help.
No, not at all. And especially a guy like Bull Dempsey, who's, you know, in NXT, he's trying to work his way to the main roster.
Yeah.
And you're just not going to help your body by doing this kind of stuff. And it's not like, you know, again, the flying head, and I don't want to make this a half an hour on a flying headbutt, but
no,
it just, it doesn't get anybody over. It's not a key move that just wows people. It just, you know, when you look at it, a lot of times you think like Chris Benoit, especially when Daniel Bryan did it, you know, there was kind of a lot of people like to make that comparison,
right,
of the flying headbutt. But it's something I don't like, and I don't want to, you know, go heavy handed with it, but I just wish that people would stop doing it. I wish, you know, management at WWE would crack down on it. It's just not needed. It's not necessary. We talked to Bob Holly a few months ago about this, and he agreed. There's just no reason to do it. And he's a wrestler, so there you have it, a wrestler saying it as well.
And he knows because he got dropped on his head from Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit different, but yeah.
But he still broke his neck. I mean, he had to deal with the neck.
That's true.
You got to protect it. You know, hopefully the other guys will help protect you, but you got to protect it yourself too.
Definitely. It's a two-way street there.
Right, and I remember I even heard Hogan say somewhere he wish he would have incorporated a sleeper hold. Because all those years of doing the leg drop.
I know. I remember we covered that interview on our site. I remember reading it. He's like, oh, I should have done like a sleeper hold, brother.
Instead of the leg drop, because now he's got none of his hips are real. He had back problems, spinal surgeries.
Yeah.
Just years and years of taking all those bumps and the leg drop.
But
just all that pressure putting on your lower back and spine.
Yeah, but it looks like a lot of the guys today seem to be taking at least a little bit better care of themselves, as far as we know. I mean, unless there's like this just killer drug that people are taking that we don't know about yet, you know. But
right,
you know, from what it seems, the appearance is that a lot of these guys, you know, seem to be in a lot better condition these days, and you know, they seem to be taking better care of themselves. That's
right.
We
don't see a lot of these jacked up, muscle bound, like every single guy on the roster is completely huge, like 6'8", 300 pounds. Not everybody's like that.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
You got a lot of guys that are smaller, but they're lean, they're in shape, they have good cardio.
Yeah.
They're really, really going. I think maybe MMA even has something to do with it, because you see a lot of these guys. Obviously, you got CM Punk, Brock Lesnar, Dave Bautista. I mean, guys really trying to stay in shape doing these other things, and it's really prolonged them, and DDP Yoga's out there, and just all these different programs.
Yeah,
helping keep these guys live not just longer lives, but have better careers.
Yeah, what DDP's doing, I mean, with his stuff especially, I mean, that's just, he's adding years to people's careers with what he's doing. It's fantastic.
Right. No, it's great.
Speaking of great, Chris, tell me about the Matt Sydal return to Ring of Honor, the first match announced, because this is huge, and I don't want to understate this or overstate it. This is huge.
Right, this is the Ring of Honor Reloaded Tour.
Yes.
It starts on September 27th. It's in Wheeling, West Virginia. And Matt Sydal going with this whole thing about being reborn. It's kind of a play on his WWE name, Evan Bourne.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, he is going one-on-one with the IWGP heavyweight champion, AJ Styles.
That is huge.
That is main event to the next level.
I mean, you look
at where AJ Styles is now.
That's exactly what I was going to say. look at where he's at now. I mean,
He's top of his game in New Japan and doing great, awesome in Ring of Honor, leading the Bullet Club, and just tearing it up. I watched him last night, and I'm not going to get into this all of this now, but I'll cover more of this in our members update.
Oh, you sneaky little devil!
There's a match he had that was on Ring of Honor TV this week that is just going to blow your mind.
Really?
Yes.
Can you at least tell us the opponent, for crying out loud? Who did he fight?
Kyle O'Reilly.
Wow.
Lewis. Yeah, Red Dragons. Kyle O'Reilly and AJ Styles. Wow.
You know what the funny thing is? It's like we look at AJ Styles when he's in TNA, and so many people said this, and I've even been guilty of saying this. Oh, God, it's just the same old stuff. You know, wow, look at, you know, he's just really just, you know, unfortunately, he's still there, and the fact that, it looks stale.
Yeah, it's kind of getting stale and bland, like, oh, this guy needs a fresh start.
Right?
And he's not getting any younger either.
No. So.
And I'll point out another guy.
Okay.
Besides AJ Styles, that kind of revitalized themselves after leaving TNA. Well, actually, two guys. Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian.
Yeah. Absolutely.
They
are totally.
They look like they're 20 years old in the ring. It is just amazing.
But the thing about AJ, I mean, too, I think a large point, I don't want to discredit what Daniels and Kazarian are doing, but. AJ, I mean, it's just such a special thing to see how he is, I don't even know if reinventing the world is because he's still AJ, but,
right.
I mean, he's on that indie scene, he's in the New Japan, he's just tearing it up,
everything he
does. I've not seen a dud from him since he's left TNA. I mean, he's just been on fire consistently. Yeah. So now...
Yeah, now I got to go back and... And I encourage people to do this too, and I'm still got to do it. I want to go back and watch him in the G1 tournament, at least the finals.
Yeah.
Because I heard that was just some 5-star wrestling.
So now you look at it from a fan's perspective, which we still are, by the way, but we have to kind of keep it a little more fair as we're on the radio trying to cover wrestling. But
right. It's kind of hard with this stuff. I mean, it's just, I am so excited for this.
Right. But you look at this match with AJ Styles and Matt Sydal. And you just take that into consideration that AJ is at the top of his game right now. And then you look at Matt Sydal, who is probably going to be going through the same thing. Whereas, you know, he's been off from WWE for a while, you know, because they've had him off TV. He hadn't really been working. Now he's going to make his return to the ring. It's going to be for ROH. So, you know, it's going to be his own kind of style and everything.
Right. And this is his return. Yes. The Ring of Honor, because he was a Ring of Honor tag team champion.
After being gone for how long? I mean, my God, 6 years or more?
I mean, for him to be able to come back, I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah.
To see what he can do. And I say they use this term a lot, ring rust. But I'm really anxious to see how well he does, and especially going in there with AJ Styles. You got to be on your game.
Yeah.
I 2014 AJ Styles, yeah, you got to be up on it.
I think this year in general for ROH has been pretty good. I mean, despite kind of the weird title change with Elgin and all that, which we'll get into that, they seem to have had a pretty good year. I mean, they got on pay-per-view in a live aspect. They had some great pay-per-views.
Right, and that was a great success, too.
Yeah, I mean...
Their first pay-per-view showing, that was a huge success.
Yeah, I mean, it was a hell of a show, too.
Yeah,
I mean it was good stuff, and I mean they just had a great year so far, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they're gonna do next to kind of take the next step. You know, you cover it a lot more intensely than I do. What is that next step for them? I mean, they've got the Sinclair deal,
right? They got the new syndication in Atlanta,
correct? So what's the next step for them, in your opinion? Is it cable?
Oh, gosh.
What is it?
I would say maybe changing the time slot of their TV. Because right now, because like last night it was on at 11:30 at night, and then they replay the same show on our ABC affiliate at it was at 12:30 today.
Okay,
but to get them on a different time slot if they can.
Let me ask you a question.
I don't want to say go on Mondays like what TNA failed to do. Don't go Mondays. Don't go Thursday. Just be careful. I would say maybe a different time slot would help them, and I would say branch out in syndication a little bit more, because they're still very, very small. But I would say if they slowly branch out like they're doing, get in a few more markets here and there, and maybe a couple, maybe add another pay-per-view besides one, maybe do two pay-per-views, and just kind of slowly build it up to get the exposure out there, because they can really, if they advertise correctly, they'll be a huge success.
No, I agree with you. This is a question I want to pose to you, because you remember, I don't know if you watched it like I did, but back when WCW was on, like, Saturday night, 6:05. Did you ever watch that?
Oh, yeah, on the Superstation. Yeah, I remember WCW Saturday night.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that Ring of Honor could be successful, or any wrestling promotion for that matter, but we'll use Ring of Honor as the example because we're kind of talking about them at the moment. Do you think that they could have a success in that kind of similar slot? I'm not saying necessarily 6:05, but definitely not 11:30 or midnight, but
no,
somewhere in like that 6, 7, 8, even maybe 9 o'clock range on a Saturday. How do you think they would do?
I don't know about that late, because then you start competing with UFC and their shows.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe early Saturday evening, because you're like in between, because even like sporting events, because college football is on Saturday during the day.
Right.
You may have NASCAR on a rare Saturday, so you really don't have to worry about that. But Sunday's out, definitely. Monday's out. Thursday's out. I would think Saturday evening, maybe in that time slot, could work for them.
I mean, maybe even just 6 o'clock. Boom.
Right.
You get in and out by like 7, and then you're not competing with UFC or there's like a boxing fight on or something like that.
Right, or maybe a night college football game or something.
Yeah, you want to stay away from that stuff.
It's getting tricky now with all of this different competition now coming out there, and if they can get in more syndication and maybe a different time slot, that could really help them.
All right, well, if not Saturday, in your opinion, what day, what time, if it was your money on the line, what would you do? What day would you think they would work best on?
Oh, I think Saturday nights would be the best.
Okay, so Saturday is still the best, you think?
Yeah, I think Saturday is still the best, because, I mean, you look at what's on, and not just wrestling. You look at what's on Sunday, Monday,
yeah,
Wednesday now with TNA moving, because they still got their about a million per week that they're trying to.
Yeah, it only dropped ever so slightly this week. I mean, it dropped like 50,000 viewers. I mean, that's not terrible.
Right, but I mean, Thursday's more, well, you're going to have football on Thursday nights anymore? Yes.
Yeah, you got
okay, yeah.
You got ESPN, I believe, and then you got CBS now.
Yep, and NFL Network. Yeah.
So or and then NFL Friday, Network, yeah.
Not, right, and then Fridays, I think you got the SmackDown viewers, but I don't know how high that is.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I don't know if I'd go in competing against, well, even TNA, I wouldn't even go in competing against them.
No.
Because they're still, Ring of Honor, still very, very small.
Yeah, Saturday nights. I think we're selling each other on Saturday nights here.
Yeah, I think so, because just logically looking at what they'd be going up against.
Make it happen, Ring of Honor. Boom.
Yeah, make it happen. Come on.
So, speaking of Ring of Honor, we'll use this as kind of like a transition. Michael Elgin's been going through a lot of stuff lately. He's still in Canada. Can't get out of Canada. He posted a blog to his Facebook.
Yeah,
you're definitely immersed in the Ring of Honor world. Can you explain to me and to people who may not know what's going on with the former champion, what exactly is going on and why he posted this lengthy blog on his Facebook?
Okay, so obviously we all know that he dropped the title, or for those of us that do follow, he dropped the title to Jay Briscoe at the last iPay-per-view. We've got that. But apparently he's been wanting to try out for baseball. And I guess people... The fans have been giving him all kinds of crap about, I guess, being a sellout and you don't care about wrestling or anything like that. But because he used to play baseball. He played it in high school and college. But he's even said he loves wrestling. It's his life. And he wrestles with injuries and things like that. And he's not whining. But he is very, very upset. And I think being stuck in Canada, I don't know if it's travel issues or what the deal is, but that just did not help the situation, and it kind of caused him to vent. And he's missing home, and home for him is St. Louis.
Ah, where you're from.
Yeah, he's from Belleville, Illinois. And he's opening up, opening up training camps, the wrestling academies here in the area.
Yeah, I was about to say, damn, go help him out, Chris, and then I realized that he's in Canada, not St. Louis.
No, he's still in, he's not the only one either that got stuck in Canada.
That's a weird thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that is so odd.
How does that work out? So, I mean, does he legally live here, or what? I mean, what's the deal?
I think he's originally from.
He's from
Toronto.
Canada, right?
Yeah, he's originally from Canada, but made his home, I guess, later on in St. Louis,
so
in the St. Louis area.
If he's a resident of the United States, I mean, it seems like open and closed to me. Why the hell wouldn't they just let him back in?
I don't know. It could be some crappy paperwork or something, but
yeah.
That's I think this is, he's more, he was more upset that people were misconstruing that he wanted to try out for baseball, but wrestling's still his love.
Yeah, a lot of the, I guess a lot of the dirt sheets have been reporting on what they believe is going on. And
right, and I'm sure those dirt sheets are saying, oh, he's bailing on Ring of Honor. He lost the title, and he's bailing and going to go try baseball. But,
and Ring of Honor is really mad at them and all this stuff. And we just don't know this stuff. I mean, come
on.
No,
this is only, the only people we're going to know are Ring of Honor and Michael Elgin.
Yeah, I mean, anybody can say anything, you know. It's
right,
just,
and he swears up and down that wrestling's his life, Ring of Honor's his home.
Yeah.
And loves being the world champion. And everybody's pointing fingers. But I think, and as he said in his blog, that's a big misunderstanding.
Yeah. I mean,
but he will admit if he is wrong.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's all you can say. I mean, you know, everything else is just rumor and hearsay at that point. So.
Right. And here you go. And I will quote something from his blog. And this is on our website. He says, I'm not asking for goodwill or handouts, but show some decency while you have no correct info.
That's it.
There you go.
We don't know it. We don't, you know, we don't know anything for sure in terms of what's really going on with him in Ring of Honor. Right. You know, once they report on it and actually say, hey, this is what's going on. Yeah, we took it off and I don't know if they're going to do that. But I'm just saying if they did, then we could say, okay, yeah. That's, you know, there's some bad blood brewing here or whatever. But we just don't know. And for other places to just report on that, I just, you know. That's just irresponsible, flat out.
Right, and I think that's where we have the upper hand compared to all the other wrestling sites, is we're not going to just run with this.
Well, just as a sidebar, and I'm not going to drop names because that's just not what we do here, but
no.
I saw like one website getting mad at another website because they said, oh, well, they twisted our words and said we reported this, but we actually reported this, and whatever it is they were reporting was actually rumor to begin with, and then some other site took the rumor and made it into another rumor. It's just,
come on.
When you keep the BS off your site, that's just when you make it easy. It's just easy at that point. It's not difficult. It's just
right,
keep it simple.
Right. They're copy and pasting and taking it as gospel.
Exactly.
Not coming up with their own original content.
Exactly. Unbelievable, Chris. Absolutely unbelievable. Just stay away from the rumors and BS, and it makes life a lot easier. Trust me.
Right. Maybe I need to put a word in with Elgin. It's like, hey, don't go after head on over to Wrestling Informant.
Yeah, hey, reach out to him. Tell him we'd love to give him a platform to speak whatever the truth is. You know, I want to hear about
absolutely
the damn truth.
That's all we're after.
Let's do it, man. Reach out to him, and let's see if we can't get him on our Wrestling Informant radio for
see
our
if we can make it
listeners.
Happen. Absolutely. It's on my list.
All right, very good. Dwayne The Rock Johnson in the news, talking with Muscle and Fitness. Talked about his injury that he sustained with John Cena at WrestleMania 29. I was there in attendance. What an incredible event. And he actually mentioned that the match was supposed to go 50 minutes.
Whoa.
Yeah, and he said at minute 25, he tore his rectus.
For the entire muscle. He said he felt it, and he's tweeted out a picture with the look on his face. I'm thinking, oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, no. That's not good, because you see the look on his face, and then he kept going with the match. But, I mean, for that to go 50 minutes?
50 minutes with John Cena was the original plan.
Wow.
Obviously, it went less than that, but...
obviously.
Yeah. that's incredible. I mean, when you think about that, it's like, wow. They were going to have this huge match, and then he got injured, and this was right before he was going to film Hercules. And
right.
He had to fly home the next day, and, you know, it's just unbelievable. So basically, this interview kind of covers, these highlights kind of cover this whole thing with John Cena. And he talks about how, you know, him and John Cena are good buddies now. And he talked about how kind of real things were getting between him and Cena. And I don't know if he's just working this interview or if things really did get real, but you can certainly tell. And this is the one thing I'll say about this. To me, I believe that some of it got real because when you watch their promos in both years,
yeah,
it got very uncomfortable to watch it sometimes.
It got extremely personal. And you want to talk about breaking kayfabe?
Yeah.
This did. It got real. I mean, they're talking. I mean, we've talked about the whole part-time versus full-time status and things like that, but they really got into it.
They left so much money on the table by pointing that stuff out.
I know.
And look.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've even heard talent in other podcast interviews say, if there's one thing you change about the business today, what would it be? And a lot of them say kayfabe.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing sacred anymore.
But I would just say it's like, you know, for them to go out there and make this whole thing about, you know, he's a part-time guy and he comes in via satellite and all that stuff. If you don't bring attention to that stuff, and this is again why some people, you know, kind of don't like Brock Lesnar because he's a part-time champion, all that stuff. This whole part-time thing, and I might have mentioned this before, so for those who have heard it, I apologize, but if you don't draw attention to it back with the Rock stuff, people wouldn't be talking about it right now. It wouldn't be a problem. You know, when Dave Batista came back in, although you could say, yes, people would still hate on him because he was wrong place, wrong time, you know, in the midst of the Daniel Bryan or bust era, as I kind of call it, where fans wanted Daniel Bryan and nothing but Daniel Bryan. If they got anything else, they would just not be happy. But
Rey Mysterio was in the same place. It was wrong place, wrong time.
Exactly. So
booed out of the arena for the first time ever.
Oh my God, yes.
Jeez.
So with that being said, if they didn't spend all this time in this kind of smear campaign against Rock about how he's, you know, part time, he doesn't care, he comes in, he leaves, he goes to satellite and all this stuff, you know, I think a lot of people wouldn't necessarily be talking about it as much as they were, and it's just unfortunate that they had to go there. But I look back on this thing now, and he's talking about how it got, you know, real. Like, they were just, you know, they were ready to, like, come to blows backstage is what he was saying, basically. Like, you know, for real.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, he may be working a little bit of that. He may be exaggerating some of that. But that just blows my mind that, you know, at this moment in time, these two guys, you know, got so real and so worked up, and it came across on TV, like, you know, Cena's picking on Rock for the lines written on his hands, which I definitely was not a scripted thing to say, I would not think.
No, not at all.
But the one good thing we got out of it was when Cena brought back the Thugonomics thing. But I believe that was in 2012, not 2013, where he came out and said, you know, he had a bag of peanuts in his hand. He said, I got my nuts in your mouth, or whatever the hell he said. And he kind of threw the bag at the camera. I was like, wow.
Right. Yeah, that might have been that might have been the first one.
Yeah, that was the first match. So, you know, it's on Muscle Fitness. We're going to have this on the main listing of our site here soon. I was just kind of thumbing through and I saw that on Twitter. I thought it was an interesting interview. Pretty good stuff. And he talks about...
That is good.
He talks about if he sees himself coming back to the ring soon, and this is a direct quote, so this is interesting. He says, yeah, I'd love to. We just have to figure out what it could be and what the most ideal matchup would be and who it would be with, because I always feel like if I go back to WWE, then it has to be bigger and greater than what I've done in the past, and I don't know what could be bigger in terms of marquee value, in terms of across-the-board value, and to me, it has to surpass what I've done. So would that be, or what we've done? So with that being said, Chris, now the big question I'm going to pose to you is, of course I'm going to put you on the spot, what is that big match for The Rock to have if he were to return? What, in your opinion, out of all the people that are on the roster right now, who is the biggest opponent for Rock that he could do?
This is kind of, this is very interesting, and I'm glad you put me on the spot, because I would say it would have to be somebody larger than John Cena, somebody larger than CM Punk.
Is it Brock Lesnar?
Daniel Bryan.
What? Daniel Bryan.
The crowd would get behind him so much. And yeah, I think that could be, and it's way out of left field, but
it is.
That they could do something with that.
I don't know if Rock would come back for that though. That's
I don't know. I know he would. Maybe that's just the internet dream, but
Because everybody perceives Brian like he's, you know, because he's small and, you know, all this stuff, like, you know, all the things that are to be said about him on TV under the guise of storyline, but really I think some of it's bleeding through how they actually feel about him.
Right. And, yeah, I think so.
So
but I don't know Lesnar. I don't know if it's Lesnar.
Well, because that was the plan originally. They were supposed to fight at 30. Rock did reveal that. That is confirmed.
Right. Yeah, I remember that. But I mean, right now, man, I don't know, especially the position Lesnar's in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a great money marketing matchup, but I don't know, it just doesn't fit.
Well, I don't think you would have two quote unquote part time guys. And
right.
So then you're gonna have to risk the fans not only trying to pick one, but potentially backlashing against both because of, you know, kind of where that's at, you know. They were like, oh, well, they're both part-time guys. We don't like them or whatever, which they wouldn't have that problem if they didn't do that in the first place, but
right.
It's all right.
They didn't expose it like that. And I remember back at WrestleMania 20, kind of the same thing where the build up for Lesnar Goldberg for WrestleMania 20 was huge, but everybody knew they were leaving and they just hated the match. It was just complete. Oh God, they hated it, and they knew they were both leaving.
I'm gonna pitch something right now that people, when they listen to this, they're either gonna unsubscribe, they're gonna think I'm crazy. Okay, they're gonna think I'm absolutely beyond crazy. They're gonna stop listening to the show now, Chris. So you can look back when you think back what drew everyone away from the show. All the listeners, they're gonna say it's this next line.
What drove the subscriber number down to zero?
Exactly. And I do appreciate all of our subscribers, by the way. And
oh, I do too.
I also want to just very quickly thank everybody who takes time to write iTunes reviews. That does help us in a small way, so we do appreciate that. But on to my idea. What if you take one of the biggest movie stars of all right now, The Rock?
Yeah.
Who, by the way, I read on some movie website that he was supposed to be in the next Bond movie, but his demanding price was more than James Bond himself.
Oh my God.
Yes, that's crazy.
That's insane.
But what if you take him against another guy who has seen tremendous box office success in Dave Bautista, and you make Dave Bautista your heel, which he is the best at, I would argue. I think he's the best in that role. And again, I know people are thinking, my God, you're nuts. Batista sucks. And oh God, two part-time guys, yuck. But listen to me. Hear me out. You got two guys that have not crossed paths all that much. I know at WrestleMania 20, there was it was like Rock and Mick Foley versus Orton, Batista, and I think it was Flair.
Yeah, it was a handicap match.
So it's not like they've completely stayed away from each other. But you think in terms of what Batista's just done with Guardians of the Galaxy and how big that's become in the box office. This is not my scene. I've not seen it. It's not something I'm into, but a lot of people are, and they've seen great success. They're already doing a sequel they've announced and all that kind of stuff, so congratulations to him on that. But you take Dave Batista, you take the success he's seen, and you take the success that Rock has seen, and you put those two up against each other, and you can kind of work. You can kind of do some work or make people think it's a shoot kind of thing where they're like out at Hollywood somewhere and they happen to meet up and maybe like TMZ's there.
You get that crossover.
You get the crossover and maybe they kind of get into like a scuffle or something or like a shoving or something. Maybe you can take like what happened with Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier in the UFC. You know, two guys, and obviously this is a different story because those two guys legitimately hate each other, and I don't think Rock and Batista hate each other, but...
I don't think so either.
You could make people think that they do, and you could turn something in Hollywood, and you can use the media, people like TMZ, who will be on that story in a heartbeat.
And, oh my God, they would.
And you let Batista be the heel, and... Maybe he's the guy who instigates like a shoving thing. Like maybe they're in Hollywood or something. They're at the same restaurant. I don't know, right?
Or
and they have words.
In 2014, maybe even do a little spat on Twitter. You've seen all these people do, and that would just blow up the internet.
You could do that too. And so here's the thing. So then maybe even after that, okay, so they're both in Hollywood somewhere. Maybe they're at a restaurant or whatever, or a movie premiere or something like that. Maybe not a movie premiere because I think the studios would be pissed, but maybe at like a restaurant or something.
Some public area.
Some public area. Public,
yeah.
And they verbally have a spat and it becomes a viral video. And maybe there's a shoving match. And maybe you get like a...
hang on a second. Let me add to that. Or you have a verbal spat, but it's so subtle that it gets people talking. Maybe not a physical altercation, but maybe there's a little bit of jaw jacking between them and a couple of subtle jabs here and there.
Right. And let me just also say that I don't think for a second that WWE would probably do this. And I don't think for a second that either of these guys would agree to try to work people into thinking they're having like a real fight. I don't think they would, but it would make money. People don't think Dave Batista could make some big money with WWE. You could get a Rock Batista match and work people and make them think this is real. And you could even build up some real attention, kind of like Rock's talking about here. In this interview, the thing that he had with John Cena, but you take these two guys and, you know, you put them in the ring at WrestleMania, which is going to be in San Francisco. I don't think Rock is interested in doing this year's WrestleMania. Obviously, would have heard something by now. So you could do it in Dallas. you know, you have a variety of options. But I just want to throw that out there. I know people are going to say, Gary, you're absolutely out of your mind. I'm never listening to you again. You suck. But I think if done right, this could be something big. I'm just going to say that right now.
That is a very interesting theory.
And you want to know something else? I just thought of that just now.
Wow.
Beautiful. No premeditation. Nothing I've been thinking about for weeks. I just thought about that on the fly, and it blew my mind just thinking about it just now.
That is very interesting. And I think you take the whole part-time thing out of the equation. Just forget the whole part-time thing.
Right.
Just the fact that you got these two, I'm going to call them both big Hollywood stars, because really they are. They're making some blockbuster movies.
Oh, yeah.
You put them head-to-head together and put them on a big stage. Gosh, that is money.
That is gangbusters. You got everybody talking about that. They're going to have to put the printers on overtime to print more money. I'm telling you.
Everybody's, all the websites will be blowing up and all the TV shows will be talking about it. And
they'll never do that, but that would be amazing.
No, they wouldn't. As cool as it would be, yeah, because now we're getting into fantasy booking, but
I know
that would be interesting.
Damn right it would be.
If they ever cross paths, I don't know, and I doubt they ever will.
That is true. All right, let's close out on these two things. Can you give me kind of just the quick match results? Let's give all the listeners the quick match results of the NXT TakeOver 2 card, and then we'll kind of close on talking a little bit about Raw. So kind of give us the quick match results of the NXT TakeOver Fatal 4-Way WWE Network special.
All right, so we crowned new tag team champions. It's Sin Cara and Kalisto. They beat the Ascension.
Right.
And very surprising. TJ Parker got his match on the card. He got squashed by newcomer Baron Corbin.
He got squashed very quickly. It took me longer to type up a tweet than it took for Baron Corbin to beat TJ Parker.
Right. And then we had Enzo Amore beat Sylvester LaForte in a hair versus hair match.
Right. And tune in to our members' audio, wrestlinginformer.com/membership, to hear what I had to say about Enzo Amore. Really high on this character. If you want to hear my thoughts on that, tune in to our membership show. We did nearly an hour, folks. You don't want to miss it. Go ahead, Chris.
Right. We got the debut of Kenta under a new name that he announced. He announced it himself, Hideo Itami.
Correct.
So he came out, and everybody that's watching NXT knows why. But yeah, the Ascension came out and they got run off by one guy.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
Yeah. And then we get we kind of touched on this earlier on the show with the whole Sean O'Hara thing, but Mojo Rawley lost to Bull Dempsey.
That's correct. Yes, he did.
The two flying headbutts. Man, that was pretty fast. That was another fast one.
Two squash matches on one show.
Right, but then we have the next two matches. I would consider these could be match of the year. We had the NXT Women's Champion, Charlotte. She defeated Bayley.
Hell of
a
match.
Amazing match. Yeah, it was. That was absolutely amazing. And we had a little skirmish afterwards with Sasha Banks.
Right.
And then we had Adrian Neville did whatever he could. He did everything he could to make sure he stayed the champion when he beat Tyson Kidd, Sami Zayn, and Tyler Breeze in the Fatal 4-Way match.
Exactly. And you talk about matches of the year. This is my pitch for it. I say this special alone is worth it to sign up for even just a month of the network.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. I couldn't agree more.
Go watch it. And tune into our audio. We have a nice audio companion piece. Watch the show, then subscribe to our membership, and you can hear why we think Tyson Kidd is doing some of his best work. I know the internet likes to completely crap on him, but Tyson Kidd doing some of his best work, period. Thoughts on this match, thoughts on all the matches.
Mm-hmm.
Tune into the membership audio show, 1 hour on the NXT TakeOver special. Chris, it was such a great show, and I'm glad that we had the privilege of being able to cover it. I was so excited. I couldn't go to bed that night.
I was like, oh man, I was ready to do the recap.
Well, I know,
we just witnessed.
We watched a show, we did an hour, and then I tried to go to bed. I couldn't even go to bed. The site crashed that night, just after I posted the audio. The site crashed.
Oh my god!
Yeah, people were emailing me. They couldn't get on. We probably lost a few signups because people couldn't get on. But Let me rest assured, we talked to the serving, the server hosting folks. The website is good to go now. You can go now. It's safe. It's fine. No problems. And go check out the membership. Go check out our great coverage on this show. All right, let's close it out with some Raw talk real quick. We don't have to dive too into it. I mean, it was nearly a week ago. It's already nearly old by now, and that's one of the unfortunate things of doing a podcast, a weekly in review podcast, some 6 days after it aired. But that's all right. Just a quick kind of, overall thoughts of the show. Do you think that in the first week of Monday Night Football, they did enough to keep people intrigued throughout the show?
I don't know if they, I'm hoping that their show this Monday does something a little bit better. I mean, they had Jerry Springer on there and that, I guess it got people talking. It drove me insane.
Right.
But it just completely nauseating.
Well, and bear in mind, the second hour did go up, something it did not do last year and the previous year. So I think they were doing something right. But I just don't know if it was enough. That's kind of where I'm going is it, was it enough to get people talking? And I don't know that answer is yes. I mean,
it would be hard for me to say it would even convince me that that was a yes.
Okay. Fair enough. I mean, you look at the cage match, I think it was pretty good. I would have liked to heard from Jericho as far as why he was in this cage match and what it meant to him and what he wanted to do. But
yeah,
we got none of that.
Nope, it just went. It's like, got the cage match, boom. That was it. No build up, no background, nothing. It was just, we take a couple weeks off, here you go, we're back in the cage.
You got Orton and Reigns and what they did, and then Seth Rollins nearly getting freaking killed, man. Did you see that with the cage lowering? Good God.
Yeah, Rollins really took it to him.
That gif is all over the internet of where the steel cage nearly came down and stabbed him in the back. Ugh. Literally. Unbelievable, man. I couldn't believe it. I mean, that guy got out just in time. And then, the Jerry Springer stuff, for God's sakes, man.
Oh, God.
Did you notice how the Bellas, as they're rolling around on the ground fighting, they kept, like, rolling on to Jerry? Like, they would notice that, like, they would fight and they would roll around. They're like, oh, no, we're not near Jerry. And then they would roll back over and fall back on Jerry Springer.
It was so lame.
Yeah, I you know.
Even it was bad for even WWE entertainment standards. It was bad.
Could you imagine if Jerry Springer had come on back in the Attitude Era, back when his show was red hot on cable, and
that would be huge.
Huge, man.
His show in the Attitude Era, that would have been absolutely perfect for each other.
He's about 15 years too late, and I'm not saying just that he himself was not that bad. It's more or less what they had scripted for the segment and what they had the Bellas doing. That was where the bad stuff fell. I don't want to fault Jerry because he wasn't terrible.
No.
He did call their brother JJ Bella, which I laughed hysterically at.
That was pretty funny. I'm thinking, oh my God, he didn't just call it. Yeah. And then they put his real name up on the screen.
Yeah, JJ Garcia.
JJ Bella.
JJ.
Oh my Bella. God, really? You called him JJ Bella?
We've got a surprise, folks. We've got him here. Let's bring out JJ Bella. It's like, oh God. Love it.
Combine that with the Nikki and Bree's horrible acting.
Yeah.
And it was a disaster. But I guess it got people talking. We're talking about it.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, whether it's good, bad, ugly, whatever, we're still talking about it.
And just a quick question. We don't have to, you know, harp over it. Will fans ever stop chanting CM Punk at AJ Lee?
Can they? Please. I want them to.
Is it ever going to stop?
I saw it. I heard it at the Ring of Honor show I went to.
Oh, God.
Oh, I'm sitting there in the crowd, and Adam Cole comes out, calls himself the best in the world. And, of course, that triggered all the CM Punk chants. I'm just sitting there.
Well, then it's his fault.
That's he was trolling. Yeah. He was trolling. Adam Cole, baby. Adam Cole was trolling. Well, he was trolling that night, calling himself best in the world. And he was a champion at that time, too. But, yeah, just stop it already, please. Well, just in general.
Exactly. Let's save the best part for last here on the show. We'll close out with this. Heyman and John Cena in the ring. Cena and Heyman both cutting amazing promos. My only criticism, and people, you know what? This has made me kind of wonder if I should rethink this because people, a lot of people on Twitter kind of were arguing with me over this on Twitter at PW Informant. I said to myself that John Cena, and I said this on my review, I've said this on Twitter, I didn't like that John Cena needed to bring up the stuff he does with Make-A-Wish and the military to try to get himself over. I was not happy with that at all. I thought it was completely unnecessary. I think for everything else good that he does, just the style and how he's portrayed on TV, he could use that, the never give up, the hustle, loyalty, respect. I'm here every week. I would even be fine with him saying that.
Yep, all the Make-A-Wish stuff.
I just don't think that he needs to use sick kids and people in the military to get himself over.
I don't know. They could have done so much more.
But to be fair, Chris, there was many people on the other side who said, you know what, it wasn't that bad. Maybe it wasn't. I'd like to hear from you guys, the wrestling informant listeners. You know, reach out to us on Twitter, at PW Informant. Yep. You can even email us privately just with your thoughts. Just send info at WrestlingInformant.com. You know, if you feel strongly one of the other ways, and if you give us permission to reveal your comments, we'll reveal them next week. But I'm just of the opinion, I just think it was a little too much for me personally. For other people, they thought it was okay. So there you go. People are on both sides of the spectrum here.
Well, again, John Cena, very polarizing.
Yeah, but everything else about his promo is great. I mean, it's everything that a babyface should be. Mm-hmm. And I really just thoroughly enjoyed what he had to say up until that point. And beyond that point, you just really got the feeling that he really cared and that he was there. And you know, it's just, he came across great. Paul Heyman, of course, with the trying to get Cena to kind of turn against the fans, which I know we all wish he would, but I don't think he ever will.
Kind of feed the anger, feel it inside. It's buried, but
acknowledge the people that hate you, all that kind of stuff.
Right. I mean, it is classic. It's hero versus villain.
Yeah.
And John Cena is trying to redeem himself after getting destroyed by the monster. And it's, I don't say revenge because in that, but yeah, he's consumed with just destroying Brock Lesnar.
That's it. Exactly. Yeah,
and then Heyman trying to get him to let that out, let that anger and that hate, start feeling the hate, let it out. I loved it.
Yeah.
That was absolutely amazing. Just the good versus bad battle that they're having and how Paul Heyman is trying to get him to not necessarily turn,
right,
but just embrace it a little more.
Kind of like Kane telling John Cena, what was it, 2 years ago, to embrace the hate or whatever it was?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah,
I remember that.
All right.
This works a little bit better, though, because yeah, it's Paul Heyman.
Definitely. And just for the record, tomorrow on Raw, they're talking about they were advertising Brock Lesnar for the show. John Cena said if Brock Lesnar didn't show up, he was going to fight Paul Heyman. But if Brock Lesnar showed up, he was going to fight Brock Lesnar. Obviously, they're not going to fight, but I'm sure that they'll have something going on tomorrow. There'll be some nice segment. So it should be a good show tomorrow. We'll see. I have my hopes up. You know, as somebody who has spoken out against John Cena and Brock Lesnar having a rematch so soon, you know, I just want to see what they have up their sleeve, how they portray it, and how they do it. So.
Yep, and next Sunday is the Night of Champions pay-per-view.
That is correct. We'll have a full preview up for everybody. You can check that out. And then also on the website, I'll get with our columnist Brian Denny as well, but next weekend the entire staff will reveal our picks in text format on the website for everyone.
Yep.
So check that out. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. The final plug I will say is WrestlingInformant.com/membership. You can tune in Monday through Friday, daily audio podcast, breaking down whatever's going on in, you know, the TV recaps or news in general, our analysis. And it's really just a good value, $2.99, some of the best audio quality you're going to hear, best coverage. And, of course, our shoot interview archive.
Yep.
Which goes back to 2007. There's a lot there, and I still have a lot more to add, believe it or not.
there's a lot.
There is a lot more to add. One other thing I want to say, I actually want to give a plug to WWE, believe it or not, Chris. I don't know if you've watched this. We don't have to dig into it too long, but I know WWE has a lot of kind of like throwaway, like mini, like 5 minute programs on their YouTube channel, but they've got one called WWE Warehouse.
I've seen this, and I saw the one with Joy Styles.
Yeah, he hosts it every week with the what they call like the WWE archivist or something.
Yeah, I've seen that because I saw the one a while back where what happened to the original SmackDown Fist.
Yes, yes.
That was fascinating.
Well, That was, but I was going to say, for those of you who are like me, who love the kind of like early 90s WWE stuff, and I know a lot of people hated it because it was arguably some of the worst characters and stuff like that, but it's kind of what I grew up on, so I've got this like blind love for it. This week on the WWE Warehouse YouTube show, they find the old neon entrance set, which is really cool.
I remember that.
And they actually put it together and show them like walking through it and showing what it took to build this thing. Very fascinating stuff. So WWE, you're definitely doing something right there. Go and check that little show out. I wish they would do maybe like a longer version. Like maybe they could almost do like a for the network.
Right. I'm thinking do like a 30 minutes on the network.
Do like an American Pickers type thing, but like where it's just Joey Styles going into the warehouse looking through old stuff. They have enough stuff there where they could easily get two or three seasons worth of material out of it.
And just, they got half a century worth of stuff.
And here's the thing, you know, because, you know, WWE's kind of in the cost cutting and all that stuff. They're already doing this already in a 5-minute format. It can't cost them too much more to just go and look at a few other things and build a 30-minute show for the network and do like an American Pickers type show, which American Pickers does very well on television, gets great ratings. You could do a show like that with Joey Styles, and he could look at some of the cool stuff they have in the warehouse. So that's all I wanted to say about that. At PW Informant on Twitter, Chris, where can people find you?
At Chris McManamy.
I'm at Gary Cantrell. Thank you guys so much for subscribing to our show weekly here on Wrestling Informant. If you're listening to us on the website and you want to know how you can subscribe to your phone or wherever, it's really easy. This is our free show every week. If you have iTunes, you can go to wrestlinginformant.com/iTunes, and that'll get you our direct link to iTunes. And we also have a feed burner for every other device. It's just feeds.feedburner.com/wrestlinginformantradio. And don't worry, folks, I'm going to make a shorter version of that. Fear not. But that's it, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate your support, and we'll talk to you guys again next week.
See ya.